So the story begins in the pre-World Wide Web days, that when there were these things called bulletin boards, where you actually had to dial a particular computer, and lots of people would dial into the same computer, and you could post stuff, and other people could read it. So the first important case was this case of Cubby v. CompuServe. Was it actually CompuServe, or was it somebody else? This was one of the, Rumorville was one of the services CompuServe offered.
It's part of the journalism forum.
This is part of, okay, this is part of the journalism forum. And then Cubby started something called Scuttlebutt.
Rumorville, badmouth Scuttlebutt.
It says it's a new startup scam.
Say the Scuttlebutt is a scam. Okay. And Cubby then goes and sues CompuServe, right? For defamation or something like that? Some kind of. Okay.
Publishing false and defamatory statements.
False and defamatory statements about their fine service, Scuttlebutt.
Right. Libel of Blanchard, disparagement of Scuttlebutt, and unfair competition.
One publication available as part of the journalism forum is Rumorville. Rumorville is published by DFA, and CompuServe has no employment contractual or other direct relation with either DFA. So it's really not, it's really this group, DFA is the real, they're the ones who are really posting the stuff to CompuServe. They're just using CompuServe in the way we would use, Verizon or somebody to, to
Right. Or Kinko's.
Kinko's. We're Kinko's. Well, the question is, what's the right, what's the right analogy? But the people posting stuff on Rumorville, including this allegedly defamatory stuff, nobody at CompuServe is reading this stuff, right? They're just kind of hosting it. Okay, so Cubby goes after CompuServe. CompuServe has no opportunity to review Rumorville's comments before DFA uploads it. And now Cubby develops Scuttlebutt, and plaintiffs, that's Cubby, claims that on various occasions Rumorville's published false and defamatory statements relating to Scuttlebutt, and therefore they claim that they have claims against both CompuServe and Fitzpatrick's, that, DFA, business disparagement, unfair competition, various
So
other things.
central to that argument, then, that previous paragraph you just left, that is the standard of liability differs between that of a distributor and that of a publisher, right?
Right.
Isn't that sort of the core of this argument?
Right. So there is this publisher distributor distinction, which we talk about, right? The example we use in the book is sort of extreme case where the our publisher of Blown to Bits is Addison Wesley. Okay, Addison Wesley actually bears some responsibility for what we publish. They have lawyers. As our editors were reading our stuff that we gave them, they occasionally called the lawyers and said, "Is there anything here to worry about?" Or they might have anyway. So they, if we published false and malicious rumors about any of you people, you could sue us, but you could also sue our publisher, because they're supposed to have read the stuff before they actually publish it. But you couldn't sue, or, I mean, you can sue anybody, but you wouldn't get very far, you know, if you sued the trucking company that brought the books to the bookstore where you bought the book, even though they, like Addison Wesley, played some role in getting my words into you before your eyes, or before the eyes of somebody, you know, who, you know, was reading the terrible things that I was saying about you. Okay, so the question is, what's CompuServe? Is it, you know, is it something like a book publisher, and or not? And the decision is that it's like a that CompuServe is like a distributor. CompuServe has no more editorial control over such content than a public library, bookstore, or newsstand. We'd be no more feasible for CompuServe to examine every publication it carries for potential damatory statements than it would be for any other distributor to do so. Okay, so that's probably the crucial statement. So CompuServe is off the hook. Okay. Now there's this other case. So let me just pause there. Okay, is that... does that seem reasonable? What if it had gone the other way? Because, you know, one of the things that we learn when you sort of watch these internet law cases go by is that judges don't understand this stuff, and they have a hard time figuring out what the right metaphor is. I mean, we have a hard time figuring out what the right metaphor is. What if it had gone the other way? What if the judge had decided that CompuServe really was liable? They thought CompuServe was more like the person who owns the printing press than like the bookseller or trucker or whatever. What would have been the consequences?
Censorship.
Huh?
Censorship out of self-interest. CompuServe would have to moderate actively whatever content was flowing across their board.
They would, in order to protect themselves, it feels to me like they would have to read everything and be very cautious about anything they
shut down the board.
They didn't know.
Well, they could never hire enough people to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So you would shut it down.
Yeah, shut it down.
And you would kill it.
But you'd have no nothing on the internet.
So you'd never see any innovation at all. Because
right.
Be too much
and,
risk,
you know,
associated.
Right. No social networking, no blogs, no nothing.
You wouldn't have people doing this either, right? You wouldn't have, the Globe wouldn't just kind of open up its website and let anybody say, you know, anything they wanted on it. All right, so this was a very big deal. Okay, so now we go to the other case, which is called
Stratton Oakmont versus Prodigy.
Stratton Oakmont versus Prodigy. Okay. Who remembers Prodigy? It's a nice thing about doing teaching to an adult audience here. Like most of the college students have no idea what Prodigy was. So Prodigy tried to distinguish itself from AOL and, you know, some of the other dial-in bulletin board type services by being the one that you wouldn't feel badly letting your kids roam around on it. Okay, they were going to be family friendly, and they had been big advertising campaigns based on that. They'd send you discs in the mail, and you know, and all the rest of it. Anybody actually have a Prodigy account? You did.
Yeah.
So tell us about it.
I don't remember it. It was such a slow connection. It said it was going to do all this stuff, and it didn't. It was what the web wanted to be, as opposed to, you know. There was like little thing like interests.
All of these bulletin boards were set up that way. There was a button for this and a button for that and a button, you know, and you could go to the TV show thing, or you could go to the discussion apparently about the business discussions, but a lot of it was, you know, kid friendly and so on. Okay, and they even referred to themselves as a, as like a newspaper where there was editing. Okay, and so what happened here? What happened in this case? was actually sort of something kind of similar, well, not identical, but somebody on one of these prodigy discussion groups or something like that said the Stratton Oakmont people are a bunch of thieves.
A cult of brokers who either lie for a living or get fired.
Okay, so, you know, I mean, obviously, this is the sort of stuff that would appear here. If I went over to the business articles rather than the one about gay marriage, we could probably find, you know, something exactly like that. If anybody wants to do it while we're talking, and I'll bring up a different set of, you know, different set of posts here. Okay? And so Stratton Oakmont sues Prodigy. Mm-hmm. Prodigy says there's legal precedent for exactly this situation. You know, one business calling another business a scam or something like that. And, you know, we don't have any liability because that was settled, you know, just a few years ago because of CompuServe's victory in the Cubby v. CompuServe case. And what does the judge say?
Since they were exercising some editorial control, they were publishers instead of distributors.
When the judge says, when you decide to edit, you know, you assume the responsibilities that editors have and the liabilities as well.
So isn't it, doesn't extend, it extended, and I know this, remember this only because I'm looking at the request for summary judgment, but it extended from Prodigy positioning themselves fundamentally as a family-oriented service, and thereby establishing a baseline of editorial control in their charter.
Right. They essentially had gotten themselves in trouble by trying to do what they thought American families wanted, and what American families probably did want. This court determines as a matter of law the following two disputed issues as follows. The Prodigy was a publisher, quote-unquote, of statements concerning plaintiffs in its Money Talk computer bulletin board for the purposes of plaintiff's libel claim. And then, you know, there's a particular individual that's in trouble as well. But that's, you know, they became the publisher because they were editing. And as soon as they started editing, they lost the free pass that the distributor status that CompuServe had. Okay, so what then, you know, what would you do if you were a lawyer? This is where we can all, you know, are there any, I'm just going to ask the people who are out there in cyberspace if there are any lawyers online, because there sure aren't. I don't think there are any in this room. There's certainly not one in front of the class, I can tell you that for sure. But we can all play amateur lawyer here. Okay, this is the thing. So here we go. Here's these two cases. There's a distinction in the facts. They're similar in some ways, but there is this distinction in the facts, and the Prodigy tried to edit and CompuServe didn't do any editing. They just posted whatever people gave them. Here CompuServe had no liability. Here Prodigy has liability. You're now the lawyer to some company that's running a bulletin board service, or let's move it into the modern context and call it you're the Boston Globe's lawyer, or the lawyer to some other online website where people can post stuff. You know, what do you tell them?
Don't edit.
Don't edit. If this were the law of the land, okay. You would say, everything you're doing is fine, but get rid of that report abuse button, which, when people push it, will induce you to make a judgment about whether the post should be there or not. Get rid of that. Anything, either let everybody publish everything or have no one put anything up. Those are your choices, because as soon as you do any editing at all, you wind up in this case where you may be liable for what somebody says, which is an absurd scenario, as several people have said. Okay, so that's a sort of legal background.